Backseat Producers, episode 299, Europa Report.
Let's run through shit.
All right. Walking Dead. It's just so bad.
Crazy.
It's so bad.
It was crazy bad.
It was so bad.
Wait, what about it was...
Hold on. Are you current?
Yeah.
Okay.
What I'm trying to determine, though, is what about it was worse this week than all other weeks?
Well, so there's two characters I watched the show for.
And one of them's gone now.
And one of them's gone now.
I said the same thing. I said, well, yeah, that's one of the two characters they needed to kill off for me to stop watching the show forever.
That's what I did, Molina! Like, oh! And so she's like, Daryl, turn around. Something's sneaking up on you. And I'm like, no, please, please just kill Daryl. Please put this show out of my misery.
And then Daryl has to go and be awesome.
Yeah. And then, yeah.
But
so... What was worse, there's no reason for this prison, like, this whole thing with the governor is just this vortex of we have three episodes we need to fill. What is going on here? This is a goddamn nightmare.
They knew that they wanted to have a big season finale, mid-season finale, and they wanted it to be the governor attacking the prison.
Yeah, alright, that's fine. If that's what you're going to determine as your goal and endpoint, that's fine. But, like, you can't... at the beginning and then work at the end and then meet in the middle on a story. That's not how stories work. Mm. Like, you can start at the end and work backwards. Like, that's fine. Start at the beginning and see where it goes. That's fine. But the meet in the middle does not work.
What they should have done is not fucking worried about how long your season is. Have your season finale at the logical conclusion of that story. And
so you television like jazz, really. Freeform.
Yeah,
because
you know what? It works for everything else. Mm. Why did they have to do that?
There was no reason they had to do it.
A single episode of the governor telling what he was doing would have been plenty.
They could have even done it Lost style. Have the action happening and then do like the... And then you see like little flashbacks. I don't need two full episodes of the governor walking around boning some weird chicken or lesbian sister. I don't need two episodes of that.
They could have totally given that all in flashbacks over the course of two episodes. From the minute the governor shows up and kidnaps Herschel and Michonne,
mm-hmm.
and then flashback everything in. There was reasonable points where it's like, we're going to focus on the lesbians now. Okay, well then you tell how the lesbians got together.
Yeah.
To give it some weight of why that's important.
Yeah.
So would you have preferred that everybody end up happy? Like. I'm trying to determine if the anger comes from...
I would have preferred to see Judith die on camera, because that's the way it happens in the graphic novel.
And who the hell is Judith?
The baby.
Oh.
And that is terrible when it happens, because... And they even set it up, because it's like, oh, what's her name? Maggie's sister?
Yeah, I don't remember. Well, I don't know, little one.
Yeah, so she's going back for the baby, and this whole season they've had her being surrogate Lori, and I'm like, this is going to be it. She's going to carry the baby, and she's going to be the one blown in half carrying the baby, and it's going to be awesome!
Oh.
And I was sad.
Bloody thing. And I'm like, why is it bloody?
Yeah.
There's no reason for it to be bloody if there's no body in it. Where would they take the body? Why would the zombies take the body?
There could have been a leg.
And wouldn't the baby be strapped in?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make any sense.
Don't you think that, like, there's a line, like, maybe we shouldn't show dead children on television?
No, they've already done it.
They've already done it.
Have
they? Yeah. Carol's daughter.
Yeah.
Was a zombie, and then they show Rick shooting her in the face. The head, yeah.
So
it was okay, because she was a zombie child. She wasn't an actual
child. So what?
But here's the thing. If you're going to have
that's
a show...
A problem. If you have a problem like that, that's the problem, that you have that standard.
Maybe Absolutely. Maybe it's a thing. I have heard this before, where it is hard to put content in Europe where children die. So maybe it has something to do with we want to be
so
able
give
to
them
sell.
A different
Well, here's the thing. You cannot have a show that is predicated on the darkest bits of humanity and then not show the darkest bits of humanity, but then awkwardly shoehorn in this redemption story and then ruin the redemption story the next episode, because that's the biggest fuck you to the audience that you can do. Oh!
All right, things would have improved had the governor actually been redeemed in some way. Like had
yeah,
he
I kind of feel yeah, yeah.
Good.
Like, I kind of feel like his apology to Michonne could have been cool with yeah, that wasn't my daughter. I realize that now, and then moved on.
Yeah,
instead of still being crazy and doing things that don't make sense.
Yep.
Mm.
Well, we're gonna take the prison. Why? What? Why? What do you need this for?
Because it's got walls.
But then the
missed opportunity... But then they destroy the walls!
And the missed opportunity is that he has the girl back at the camp. And this is what enrages me about the show. They've got the girl back at the camp, and his justification for taking the prison is, well, at any point, a horde of zombies can roll through here and kill us all. Fantastic. You know what? If you're going to have the girl die while he's away, you know how she needs to die?
A horde,
horde of zombies!
They gave you that.
They give you! That's a freebie! That
it
is a freebie
Chekhov's
for him to say,
zombies.
Look, this is the reason we had to do this, and if I would have acted faster and taken the prison immediately instead of hemming and hawing, it would have been fine. Then he would have had perfect motivation when she shows up with the kid to be like, God damn it, these are the people that kept us out of the prison, and they are the cause of this. And then his rage is totally understandable. His whole suicidal thing, we gotta take the prison right now, completely understandable.
So you don't have faith in the fact that he's just a... That we're to believe that he's just a sociopath. He's just
an ass.
That's fine.
For evil's sake.
That's fine.
Not
but,
for any specific reason.
But here's the thing: you can't spend 4 episodes examining that guy's life if he's just a sociopath.
Yeah, but sociopaths are interesting. I like to know about sociopaths.
But
Wouldn't
that
you?
Story, maybe, yeah, but not that story.
Well, I mean,
because here's the thing: there was no catalyst for him to beam that other dude in the head with a golf club. They were just standing around. I mean, I guess he could have just gone crazy, but if I believe that he's just crazy, and that's all it amounts to, then I don't care
then
that he
no
cares
to
about
show,
the kid.
There's no reason to show 2 episodes of him roaming around if he's just crazy.
Yeah, and the kid motivation is completely gone. Why does he care about the kid then? Like a selective caring thing that happens randomly?
But
it's hard to care about people like
but
that.
But it's also, but I think part of it is also kind of reflective on him. So, like, he cares so much about this little girl because... For narcissistic reasons, not because it's any kind of altruism. So he only cares about the little girl because of some sort of weird thing about his own daughter. And so he's just trying to be a narcissist by trying to recreate his daughter in somebody else.
I guess, but...
So it's really just all about
exactly
him.
That's exactly what that was.
So it's all about him. So
and,
storming
and
the prison is all about him and getting revenge. It's not about benefiting anybody. It's not about altruism. It's just about narcissism.
No, it's about survival. It's about survival, and it's about doing whatever is necessary to survive. And that was why he killed the dude with the golf club.
Notice he was Hispanic, Tony.
Well, yeah,
my people are constantly oppressed by you white one-eyed people.
yes, you are.
And are you talking about the dude from Oz?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
No. The dude from Oz was alive still.
Is he?
Well,
I don't know the guy from Oz.
I was playing games on my phone.
He was the guy that was in the tank.
Oh, the guy from Fringe.
Okay.
Just go Oz. With me on this. He's the guy from Fringe.
Yeah, that guy.
So, I don't know. That...
I bought everything until he just went crazy and had them roll the tanks in.
Yeah,
it's like, you have nullified your entire point of doing this. You are no longer surviving, now you're just flailing.
Yeah.
Because I choose to believe that he's just an extreme narcissist.
He's nothing now.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know, Tony.
I believe that he just showed up with a tank, like, having no intention of saving himself or saving the camp. Just like, hey, I'm here to fuck shit up. And then he does it just because he can. Just because he doesn't care anymore. I sort of feel like that was the motivation.
I guess, but why the justification then?
To somehow instill doubt in the audience.
No, it was to it. Everything that he did was I think everything he did was calculated to the point of getting the people in the prison to prove him right to the people that he had shacked up with this time. And when they lash out, then we can go in and murderate them because this is what I want to happen. So either they will leave and I will be right and I will be justified in their eyes, or they will fight back and I will be right and we can slaughter them. And I will be the hero. I will be the hero leader that brought these people into the prison and gave them a home.
I also kind of feel like the entire back and forth between,
I think it was all dumb,
him and Rick was just
that was terrible. Oh my god, like, it was so
like, well, we're gonna move in there and you guys need to move out, but we don't want to move out. Well, you're gonna. Nuh-uh. Oh, come on. And then ad nauseum, like repeat for like 10 minutes. This is not tension.
Was rolled the tank. You have a siege weapon and you have a castle. Use that siege weapon to beat down the castle before you move. Everybody stand behind the tank and just keep shooting it until we're out of shells or they give up, and then we roll.
Something tells me some of them weren't trained in military tactics.
Yeah, but the guy was tank guy enough.
But he had
a tank.
That's true.
They had people from the military.
Yeah, they only had a couple, though.
Yeah, who
was... But still, just two more than
tank
anybody.
Guy. Tank guy and the chick.
Yeah,
lesbian chick.
Who was a cop, though, and she...
No, not the sister.
Oh.
The sister, the other lesbian.
The non-cop. The non-cop lesbian. Cop sister lesbian.
Was she in the military?
Lesbian
was in the military.
No.
How many lesbians First off, there's are two we lesbians. Talking about?
Well, there's the lesbian,
there's the cop lesbian, and the military. Cop lesbian, military lesbian.
Yes.
Because she tries to whip out her vag peen about the M16 or the M14, and then the actual military chick's like, have you ever actually shot one of these guns? Oh, no, I'm just a cop. Yeah, that's what I thought. Eat my labia.
Oh, that's right, I remember her now. I'm just blinded.
You don't. The thing. You're not as pained by these episodes as I am. So you don't watch them in agonizing detail.
That's true. Because
you get so worked up that you study them.
Wow. It's like Sleepy Hollow. You watch Sleepy Hollow?
Nope.
Tony.
I dodged that bullet.
So there's
Julie accidentally deleted the first two episodes after watching them. Oh, I guess I don't need to watch them then.
Tony, there's a scene where the woman's like, "Hey, we're divorced, and I have custody of the kid, and, like, you've been blowing her off, and you haven't seen her since you moved out here to Sleepy Hollow to do whatever. There's a smaller town, you're more busy, I don't know why you can't hang out with your kid. So, I'm suing for full custody." So his punishment for not seeing his kid is no longer being able to see his kid? Like, what, does that make sense to you? Like, you came here specifically to complain about how he never sees his kid, and now you are making a legal requirement that he can't see his kid. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
I realize that you sit around and you like just write out, "Oh well, she has to take some legal action now." But like, if he wants to see the kid and she wants him to see the kid and the kid wants to see her dad,
the punishment should be to enforce his right to see her.
It's a whole weird thing.
That's just really weird.
Yeah, there's a bad writing. Don't do this again.
So why do you watch it?
Sleepy Hollow is not that bad. It's actually not that bad.
So what do you think of the Melist?
Here's what I told Melina. Melina's like, "I hated this episode." I'm like, "It's the second pilot."
Yes. That's exactly right.
It's pilot two. You could walk into the show just watching this, and this is the show. And it's actually more backstory than they give you in the original Mentalist
pilot. It's actually a good jumping on point. If you're going to watch the show from scratch, this is the point to do it. You know what? All that history and bullshit, it's done. And just start fresh.
Yep.
They should have got rid of Lisbon, too. Keep Cho. Yeah, if they would just keep Cho...
Yeah, they have to keep Lisbon because now there's a romance.
Now there's a triangle.
Now there's kind of a triangle.
Hot.
And if they don't do Patrick Jane bang both chicks, I'm going to be pissed.
I know. I'm right there.
Because I bet 3 seasons are going to be convincing Lisbon for a threesome.
We got done watching the episode.
Wait, isn't the show on CBS?
Yeah, it is.
We got done watching the episode and Julie said, "This is season one all over again. This is going to be season one all over again because he's going to have to prove himself with all his clever little tricks to a whole group, new group of people who doesn't know how he operates and they have to get used to him."
Okay.
Yeah, I'm fine with that because that's the most interesting part of the show is him being clever.
Yep. So do you watch this show because it's good or because it's on?
Because it's on.
All right.
Was Melina fine? Is Simon Baker really hot?
I actually like The Mentalist.
Yeah, I liked it too.
I think it's clever.
I'm not convinced that that's worth like the 45 minutes a week that it would take to watch it. So
I've been watching it since
I work on my couch a lot, so I need something on that I don't have to concentrate on.
I found Misfits on Hulu. I haven't started watching it yet, but I've
Misfits
got them
all is so
up.
Good.
I've got them all
until season two ends. And
there's
then,
like six seasons.
Are there?
They're airing stuff right now.
Yeah. After season two, they do a cast change, and there's one character in season one and two that's incredible that leaves in season three, but the plot's still manageable because there's another character who's awesome, and then that character leaves in season four or five, and then they start swapping out main cast members. It doesn't work.
That's a shame. I like shows that can do that. There are some shows that can do it.
Yeah,
well.
This is not that show that can do that, but the first two seasons are solid. Some time travel action going on. Tony's so good.
Is it good time travel?
It's good time travel. It's kind of a time travel romance, but I don't want to.
Just start jerking off right here.
I know. It's very good, too. And it's very good, and it's very Buster Balls humor, too. It's very, it's surly, Tony.
The calls we get started. How long is this damn movie? How long is that movie?
2.5 hours?
Yeah, she's probably just getting out of it, though. Julie went to see Catching Fire.
Oh. No, it's like 2 hours, I thought.
Oh, it's a long ass movie.
Was it? Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Tony, I can't wait to talk about that movie. I told Melina what I thought about the movie after we saw it, and she's like, no, I don't think that's true. And then she saw it again with her dad. She's like, yeah, I looked for all those things that you said about the movie. Yeah, you are absolutely right. Although that's not what she said. She said, I noticed this time when I watched the movie that this, this, and this. And I'm like, yeah, those are the things I told you. 2 hours and 26 minutes.
Yeah, so with the with the trailers and then with her gabbing with her cousin, she's probably just now getting into the car. Pre-order Catching Fire now. 45 minutes of extra footage.
Jesus.
Gee.
God, I hope it's Finnick. Walking around shirtless with a trident. I didn't get enough of that. You know, we could take this time to discuss what we're going to do about episode 300 next week.
Yeah. So, what do we want to do?
Yeah, man, fuck you, Tony.
Fuck you. Movie just got out.
The season of Supernatural continues to be good, Tony.
It continues to be good? I thought you were disappointed last season.
I was. Well, here's the thing with Supernatural, though. They go through this mid-season lull where about, like, the 25% point to the 60 or 75% point, the episodes all suck. Mm. Like, it always starts off strong and then rapidly goes downhill and is unwatchable. But then, towards the end of the season, they always pull it out. Because they always have good season-ending whatevers. Like, last season, it ended and they closed heaven, and so they kicked all the angels out of heaven.
Okay.
It was good.
Huh. Are you still watching How I Met Your Mother?
I have this season downloaded, but not watched.
You might be better off just waiting and watching it like that.
I got like, I'm like 4 or 5 episodes into it.
Spoiler. It's tedious.
Here's the thing.
Because they tell the story of the weekend.
Yeah, and that's like the entire season.
Yeah.
I know.
They should have done a short season. Because
did you see him in all that Packers gear, though?
Yes.
Yeah. For the game we're going to in 2 or 3 weeks or whenever, Molina got all cold weather gear, like thick cold weather gear, and it's all Packers stuff. And
nice.
It's like, we look just like that, like head to toe, cold weather Packers gear.
Oops.
That's going to be hot. Both types. Tony, I got to read you this headline. College students leaving school with higher debt. That's the headline.
Is that news? Yeah, there's a trend in fake news website headlines that is really fucking annoying to me. Okay. This what this person does will never make you see this the same way again.
I bet it will.
But like that's the headline. It doesn't tell you anything. It's
JFK and American betrayal. No new information.
But does it
same betrayal?
Well, but it's still a betrayal.
It's not a betrayal.
Oh.
It wasn't a betrayal.
Yeah, but don't you need to just go and feel angry all over again?
Not really. I never really felt angry about JFK to begin with.
Yeah.
So, coming up with this theory about emotional distance. So Paul Walker died. Guess what? I don't give a shit.
I was like, a little torn up about that, just a little bit. I loved Fast and Furious 5, and I love Fast and Furious
I can't
6.
Imagine anyone like, watching that many Fast and Furiouses.
I have not seen any before those two. But those two were great.
Not only can I not imagine somebody watching all of them, I can't imagine somebody jumping in the middle of the franchise.
It's kind of like porn. You can just jump in whenever. But
it's not the porn I watch.
Well,
I need a thick
sequentially
story.
Sequentially numbered title. Ooh, right. You need heavy backstory. Development. Right.
Listen, if it isn't a triumphant ejaculation, it doesn't do it for me. Like majestic. Like that has to be the climax of not only the sex scene, but also the story.
The audience has to
have very high standards.
Sure. But I will say that now that he's dead, and then they're in the middle of filming Fast 7 currently.
What? That's a thing?
He actually, the reason he was home was they were taking a couple weeks off for the holidays because they were all in Atlanta filming, which is where they filmed the last two movies. I don't know if they filmed all of them in Atlanta, but at least the last two they filmed there.
Well, Atlanta is a shithole.
Wait, there are. I was looking through his IMDb page, and I could not find any movie of his that I'd ever seen.
Who, Paul Walker?
Two of them.
Oh, I've seen some movies.
Since we're the Recently Dead Guys podcast.
I'm not doing a Recently Dead Guy podcast about this guy.
Eight Below and Flags of Our Fathers. I've seen those.
Have you, Tony?
I have. Flags of Our Fathers being the lesser of the duology.
That was Eastwood, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yes.
But
dovetails with Letters from Iwo Jima.
Letters from Iwo Jima.
I believe I have
so
seen Takers.
Oh, the one with the...
I think I've seen parts of Varsity Blues.
Tony, you haven't seen Timeline?
I've seen Pleasantville.
Yeah, Pleasantville.
I've seen Pleasantville.
Well, you haven't seen Varsity Blues?
Varsity Blues is the best.
I liked Varsity Blues.
Wait, that was the whipped cream bikini one.
Yeah, it was. Tony, you haven't seen Who's the Boss?
I said,
oh, no, Charles in Charge. I've
probably seen the episodes of Charles in Charge and Who's the Boss.
That's terrible, don't admit.
Yeah,
that.
I'm ashamed to
admit. But don't worry, I have made no end of Paul Walker jokes.
Oh, there's more. You haven't seen The Skulls?
Nope.
That
you
movie
haven't seen
was
The Skulls?
Classic.
Oh, Tony.
Oh, fucking She's All That. That movie changed my life and that it didn't at all.
Oh, whoa.
It didn't.
Where is that? I don't see that.
Certainly made you angry about that movie, though.
I didn't even see that on the list.
It's on there. Tony, I hate that cover. That movie came out for rent while I was working at Deerberg's. That stupid cover taunted me.
Oh,
the
with the Freddie Prinze Jr. Yeah. It's growing out of the side of that girl's shoulder.
Yeah, and they're
busting
out
a big
bullseye.
Oh, I think I have seen that.
Tony, I made a lot of drifting jokes in the last couple days, which only made me remember Phil, which then only made me remember Burning Wheel, which only got me nostalgic about being a Van Lieber. And so I laughed in my car by myself while I was listening to a book on the way here for like 5 minutes.
Wait, what kind of drifting jokes?
Like car drifting.
Okay.
What car, though? Give us a
which way did he drift?
Hold on, what do you mean? He should have drifted a little harder.
Yeah, he was.
That was part of the problem.
But he was in a Porsche GT3, which is a License to Die.
I don't know what that is.
Even Porsche doesn't like that car.
Yeah, it's a Porsche where they have taken the engine and they've made it far too large.
The car is overpowered for its size.
Yeah, very clearly.
I got that from Porsche, so.
Yeah, so, and then they put a big-ass spoiler on the back, because it's so overpowered, it's got to...
Naturally.
Downforce, yeah.
It's got to somehow stay on the road, but it doesn't stay on the road very well. And it's rear-engined as well, so we're talking about all the powers on the weight is in the back. So essentially...
Under the spoiler.
Right, so essentially you turn the car, and you're going to, you know...
No, what happens in that particular car... is if you're going around a corner and you suddenly let up on the gas, which is what most people tend to do when they feel the car starting to oversteer.
Is overcorrect.
You power into the turn.
Well, what happens is you let up on the power, the weight suddenly shifts forward off the back wheels, and it starts spinning.
Yeah.
I experienced this at Pocono with another car that was laid out the same way, Except I had a much bigger curve to spin into.
Yeah.
What's a Pocono?
Pocono Racetrack.
What is that?
Mm-hmm.
It's a racetrack. Where is that?
In Pocono, Pennsylvania.
Oh, the Poconos. I've been there.
Well, and it's...
Anyway, that car, you're right. It's extremely overpowered. It's got a short wheelbase.
Yes.
And, again, even expert drivers have a hard time with this car.
Yep.
Even the Porsche test car driver said that it's too damn dangerous.
Are they as good a driver as I am? Because I'd bring it to a new level.
I think you would find this thing again, though.
But I have no way to question you on it, so I'm just going to...
We have never driven.
Porsche has only made about 1,000 of these cars, thank God. Most of them are probably sitting in garages as collector's items, more than actually being driven as daily drivers.
Well, which they should never be driven on the road, frankly.
Well, but then, not to their capabilities, let's put it this way.
Well, but Sean and I were talking about all the people who have died in Porsches, because Ryan Dunn died in a Porsche.
I don't know who that is.
James Dean.
From Jackass.
Yeah. Again, most people have these high-performance cars, do not know how to drive them. It takes... You have to go to school to learn how to handle one of these things.
And then I believe James Dean died in a Porsche.
The Porsche Spyder.
And then Lindsay Lohan got into that accident in a Porsche, although she didn't die.
Was that the car's fault?
But she was driving like a Boxer or something.
That can still be quite a handful, too.
Well, yes, I suppose.
Especially when drunk.
Especially when she's coked up.
Yes.
I'm sure.
Even more.
Yeah.
I don't care. I'd still hit it. Let's be honest.
Yeah, I would too. On. I mean, come on. For the story alone.
All high-performance cars should come with a warning. This thing will bite you eventually.
Yeah, probably.
Especially ones that are derived from race cars and have race car-like settings on them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, tell me what we're going to do about this movie.
We can start whenever.
No, not this
not
movie.
That.
Oh, next week?
The epic 300 movie.
I'll show up oiled.
Just because?
No, it's a 300 joke, but it's got to be clever. It's not clever, I don't want a part of it.
We could recreate the kicking into the pit scene.
Oh, my God.
That's going to be episode 300. Just a video recreation of that scene.
We need a pit.
I'm in. I don't care how you do it. I'm in.
Hey, did you see the chick they picked to play Wonder Woman?
I have seen the pictures of her, and I don't know that I've ever seen her act in anything, so I can't comment on her acting abilities, but she looks the part.
What is that?
She looks a very...
I mean, she has
super
big boobies?
No.
She's very classic.
No, she looks
supermodel skinny.
Porchy.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is she's not...
Is she classical Greek?
She's not Linda Carter.
God damn it.
But I would have been fine with What's-Her-Face from Haywire, because I don't really need her to act. I just need
Gina Carano?
Yeah, I need her to kick ass.
Oh, yeah.
And jiggle.
You say Gina, but my lesbian aunt was dating a Gina for a while, and so my brothers just started calling her Gina.
Yeah.
Sorry, she's too skinny.
Every time I hear Gina now, it's...
Yeah, who
flesh
is...
Flesh out a little bit more.
Yeah, I realize I can get up.
Yeah, she's
skinny. Problematically skinny.
Yeah.
A little conditioning, a little diet. We could change that proportions a little bit.
Cheeseburgers. Lots of cheeseburgers.
She's in the Fast and the Furious movies.
No.
God damn it. She's wrong. That's wrong.
Cheeseburgers would help.
Whoever did that is wrong.
You guys are welcome.
So I feel like for 300 episode, Fast and Furious.
Oh, she's in a Porsche.
God, no.
She drives a...
I'm not gonna really watch that movie.
What does she drive?
I don't know.
She has a really critical scene in Fast and Furious 5 where she's driving a Porsche GT3 RS, I think.
Is the critical scene the car she's driving?
Yeah.
It's all about the cars that are driving.
It's all about the cars. So, like, if you love Nissan Skylines, you're going to love the Fast and Furious movies.
I dislike cars.
Paul Walker.
I hope to God that they give her a trainer and make her, like...
Here's what I want, Tony. You know how Gerard Butler looked in 300?
Mm-hmm.
I want a chick who looks like that.
Huh.
Possibly with a spear.
So yeah,
you want a real Amazon, a real hard body Amazon?
Yeah, I kind of really do want an Amazon. Turns out, I mean, that may just be crazy, but I kind of do want a real Amazon woman, big and huge, and I want her to kick fucking ass
with a trident.
And I don't know. The movie already annoys me.
This Entertainment Weekly article is already wrong.
About Wonder Woman, or
so many things.
Oh, I see.
Can you elaborate on that? Because I can't read it.
No, I don't feel like ranting.
Tony, you have a podcast. It's,
yeah,
that's... I know.
I don't know if you've been listening for the last like hour.
But it's been nothing but ranting.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm like doing so well at it.
I know, I'm like triple tired.
He misused the tank.
He did misuse the tank.
He did misuse the tank.
It's a horrible use of the tank. He misused a lot of stuff. And why was that zombie in the mud? Come on, can't anybody keep an eye on their kids for like 5 minutes? Come on, seriously?
Yeah, she totally lorried that.
Yeah. Here, you go play way over there.
Where's Carl?
At least the kid died.
Yeah. I wasn't.
At
really
least
glad for
the
that.
Kid died.
Yeah, there needs to be punishment. You're not going to learn.
For who? The kid?
Well, no, for parents.
Actually, it actually made sense why the zombie was there, because they showed you why.
Yeah, I saw the zone. Well, why wasn't it moving before?
Because it was covered by the sign. Why didn't it try to get out before?
Duh.
Is the question.
Did you know how zombies work?
Why didn't that kid try and get away from it?
Because the kid's dumb.
Why are there stealth zombies?
Stealth.
People get snuck up on by zombies a lot.
Like Julie said, man, it's a good thing that they make that sound that they make. Otherwise, there'd be so many people dead.
Yeah. Yeah.
People get snuck up on, like, when it's convenient to have people get snuck up on. But yeah. Most of the time, you just hear that.
Yeah, it's plot stealth. You know, I know how it works. They also either see you, hear you, or smell you, depending on what they need for the plot at that particular moment.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those three, and it rotates.
You'd think that they wouldn't be able to hear.
I think that they wouldn't be able to smell or see.
True.
But
considering those are all pretty soft membranes that I would think would rot through the quickest.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're saying is you're looking for reality in a zombie show.
No, I'm looking for the zombie show to be consistent within itself.
Boom.
If you're going to give me a zombie rule, you have to stick to the zombie rule, because when you break it, it's stupid.
Yeah.
And then when the governor can stumble around a zombie, but Dale is snuck up upon and ripped apart in a field.
And that they panned around him and didn't show a zombie in the field.
And he's an able-bodied individual without a death wish. It makes me feel like I don't understand what the rules
are. The actor did not want to fucking be in this show anymore.
And that there are no... There's no danger, because they're just going to kill me off when it's convenient. Not because I deserve to die. You know what?
And that was stupid how Michonne got away.
Yes.
That was dumb.
Very. You know what in that show you do to deserve to die? It's be reasonable. As soon as you start be reasonable, the clock starts ticking.
I think that you...
How is Daryl still alive?
Because he got a crossbow.
Because he's not unreasonable.
His reasonableness is about killing zombies and protecting himself. Herschel had a death wish.
And then he didn't. And as soon as he didn't, then he died.
All right. What are we doing next week? Friday night.
We do Friday night?
I don't... As long as it's not Tuesday or Sunday. Or Saturday. I don't care.
Hobbit's out then, right?
Yeah, Hobbit is out that night. If we do Catching Fire, we can do a tie-in with the 75th anniversary of the Hunger Games. Spoiler, that's what the movie's about.
Oh, shit.
75th anniversary of the Hunger Games.
Damn it. I don't care. We can do either one.
It's our third quarter quell. Every 25.
Mm.
So it's kind of like our third quarter quell, quarter centennial, our third centennial of episodes.
You can work
show
on
your
that.
Work. Show your work. Because I ain't buying it yet.
You work on that. We'll make it work next week.
Tony, I'm very good at math.
I'll find time to see it this weekend if we want to do that. Hunger Games. Hobbit doesn't come out until next Friday.
Okay. And if you don't already
when
have
that's
your tickets,
when we're supposed to be recording.
Yeah, if you don't already have your tickets,
forget it.
Yeah, you may be up Shit Creek on that. We're not all the theater 1%.
We're only married to lawyers.
Uh.
Well, I get free legal advice, which I use a lot more than you would expect.
And how much do you admit to using it to her?
95% of legal advice from a lawyer is, I don't know, I have to look that up. Let me do some research and then I don't get back to you. First off, this is my move. I invented that move. Let me do some research on that. I'm not doing that.
That's my move when my mom wants to know why her printer doesn't work. I don't know. Let me Google that.
Did you turn it off and on again?
Yeah. Is it an HP? I really hope my mom dies before my dad does, because I cannot support my mom technically. I can't do it.
Yeah, it's not fun. All right, so we'll do Catching Fire next week.
Okay. It means I gotta watch Hunger Games to know what the story's all about.
What? Eh. You haven't watched the Hunger? It's Daryl. It's good.
I know it's good. I just
so wait. Have you read the books?
No.
Don't. They're bad. Movies are much better.
Well, several years ago, when I was working at Save a Lot, there was a guy there who did book reviews. He brought me up the copies of Hunger Games. Said this is going to be the next Harry Potter. Oh. And he was right.
You bring that guy out here. That guy knows what he's talking about.
Oh yeah. I can get him out here.
Is he hot?
He might be. For you?
What is that? I have so many follow-up questions.
I realize that there's a certain amount of subjectivity, but generally you know.
Hey, this is Tony.
This is Daryl.
This is Jolie.
And this is David.
We're the Backseat Producers. We've been talking for a while.
It's like a podcast episode. We have 45 minutes of content before we start the show and 10 minutes later.
You think we should actually talk about this movie?
Let's talk about it.
Europa Report.
Tony picked this movie.
I did.
And it was a good pick.
That's Daryl's high-level thoughts.
Oh. Better movie than I thought it would be. I mean, for pretty much unknown everything, I was really surprised by it. It was actually quite compelling.
Unknown everything. One of the guys was Dexter's brother from the first season of Dexter.
I never watched Dexter. So all the actors and the director were completely unknown to me.
That's where I saw that guy.
Not true. You've seen District 9.
Charlotte Copley.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. This is a whole bunch of unknown people.
Except for that guy from the A-Team.
No. We don't talk.
Are we never to speak of the A-Team?
No, the A-Team was an abomination, and we do not talk about that movie.
Sure.
God damn, Liam Neeson.
I haven't said it. I haven't seen it.
Oh, you must.
Spare your eyes, I guess.
You must.
I have a philosophical problem with that movie, Tony. Like, a deep philosophical problem with that movie.
It's a crappy TV show, too, so.
I've never seen the TV show.
Spare yourself.
I will.
It's a huge 80s cliche.
I kind of like this TV
What's
show.
What's the name of that dude that Rob Justice is so infatuated with? Is it John Wick?
Zach Braff? Yeah, John Wick.
There's a movie that is currently being filmed that stars Michael Nyquist, who was the Swedish guy in this movie.
Michael Nyquist. Swedish guy in this movie.
Yeah.
He was also in Girl with a Dragon Tattoo.
The older.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so there's a movie called John Wick coming out that is currently filming.
Oh, Rob Justice got an erection, and he does not know why.
He doesn't understand why.
Michael Nye.
While he's doing that, Jillie, what do you think?
It was all right. I'm not like, well, let me put this into context. A few weeks ago, I saw Event Horizon for the first time.
What?
I'm sorry.
I had not seen that movie before.
I have such wonderful things to show you.
And... And so that movie was terrible.
Yeah.
I kind of enjoyed
it. It was so bad.
It
was so bad, though. There are parts of it actually funny as hell.
Yeah. Oh, it's great for the comedy.
It was much more disturbing when I was younger.
I'm kind of getting that impression. Like, if I had seen this at 12, like everybody else, you know, I'd think much different about it. But, you know, seeing it as an adult, this is kind of a funny movie.
For a Deep Space horror movie, it failed miserably. For a Deep Space comedy, it didn't do badly.
And I started thinking about
if they would have sold it to me as a comedy, I would have enjoyed it a lot more, I think, because I would have known that it was okay to laugh.
Mm-hmm. But I started thinking about all the Deep Space movies and how much I've hated them. So there was the one where there were a couple where they went to Mars, and I'm trying to remember which one is which. There was the one with Ice-T.
Red Planet.
That was Red Planet. And then there was the other one.
That's my guess. I think that's actually right, though.
The other one where they just...
Mission to Mars, probably.
Was that what it was? Red. And I think I've seen them both, and I think I hated them both. So I, going into this, I was a little fearful that it would be another...
Red Planet was the Val Kilmer one.
Ah, okay.
Oh, Simon Baker was in that. And so was Terrence Stamp.
We may need to see this movie. Carrie Ann Moss.
Mission to Mars. That's the one. Also 2000.
Benjamin Bratt?
Yep.
Come on, why aren't we talking about that movie?
Well, let's talk about that movie. Mission to Mars
got a slot.
Mission to Mars, Tim Robbins, Gary Sinise, Don Cheadle, what the hell?
Yep.
Jerry O'Connell. It's like a bad episode of Sliders.
Both great, great, great films. But anyway, so I was a little afraid that that's what this movie was going to be. And then they dropped the Neil deGrasse Tyson bomb, and I'm like, I'm in. And after that, I enjoyed the ride after that, but I was a little afraid.
I believe you're leaving out the list Dracula 3000.
What about
The Deep Space Horror.
Was that set in Deep Space?
It sure was.
Jason X.
Oh, Jason versus...
No, that Jason X, yeah, the Jason, one that was...
Yeah, that was the one in space.
In space.
I didn't see that movie.
Shit, that was in space, wasn't it?
I saw that one in the theater. Oh, that was so bad.
Tony.
That's bad choices, man. Bad choices.
There was that one episode of Doctor Who where they mined out and found, like, mined down to Satan. That episode was actually really good for a Doctor Who episode.
Boy, that's saying a lot.
No, I mean, that episode was really good, but, it's still a Doctor Who episode.
Yeah, I understand.
It's not as good as The Doctor's Wife, but it's pretty close.
So what did you think of the movie overall?
Oh, I liked the movie. I hate documentary-style movies.
I thought it was kind of different. Well, one thing that they did do with the multi-screen, I haven't seen that that multi-point of view since the almost 60s, where it kind of fell out of favor by the mid-70s or so. It was a big fad for a long time with a lot of directors, was to have the multiple points of view going on simultaneously. This was kind of a nice little throwback where it kind of worked.
Hmm. Yeah, I generally liked it. The drug.
It didn't have the nonlinear timeline because it keeps jumping back and forth between foreshadowing and present day and the flashback.
They did a pretty good job of telling you when they were doing that, though. Mm-hmm. There wasn't a whole lot of confusion.
Well, the thing is, it's all telegraphed because you're looking at it through the lenses of the video cameras, because you always got the little bug down in the corner. You're like, okay, I'm watching this as a recording.
Right.
And I don't expect it to have, you know, the cinematic depth. It's a video camera.
Right. And, I mean, even the title of the movie,
it explains to you,
it's a report. We're reporting after the fact. This is the report.
Yeah, it's edited.
And it's based on found footage.
Right, and it's all edited down from the thousands and thousands of hours of just the highlights of the story. It was a good editing job. The film editor on this, or video editor, or whoever he was, did a pretty good job of keeping the story moving along without bogging down, which sometimes in flashback, which is a cliche I kind of hate a lot when it's done wrong, but they kind of kept it down. You know, they kept it down to just the essentials of the story.
Yeah, what was your high level?
I liked it. The reason I watched it in the first place, and the reason I brought it to the group, was because when I told people we were doing Gravity, somebody pointed to this movie and said, "Why isn't anybody talking about this one? Everybody's talking about Gravity. Why aren't people talking about this one?"
Well, that's just it.
These movies came out at the same time.
Yeah, but I never saw any advertisement or trailers for this movie at all.
It was on three screens.
Wow. Yeah. And it just completely got lost.
It completely got lost.
Well, this movie and this George movie, Clooney, clearly.
And this movie also, from what I understood, I don't remember where I heard it because I'm not seeing it now, was that they actually had some backing by NASA.
Credits is just a huge long thank yous to JPL, NASA, Caltech, scientific advisors.
They had a lot of scientific advisors, and NASA was, like, apparently behind the technical stuff in the movie.
You could tell that they had some access just based on the footage that they were able to get.
Yeah.
The launch footage and stuff, which I was like, you know. Well,
yeah, this was pretty good.
So, SpaceX. So this movie opened in the U.S. on August the 2nd. Its opening weekend, it made
$22,000.
Yeah.
It grossed in the U.S. $123,000.
Yeah. You're going to cover the cost of the catering.
Yeah. In its last weekend on two screens, it grossed $448.
Tony, its total gross is less than the mortgage.
Which
on
is
house.
Sad because this is a pretty decent movie. I mean, it just got drowned.
Yeah.
Apparently not enough promotion somewhere.
Well, I wonder who put up the money and why. That would be my next question.
I don't have a problem with whoever put up the money and why, because I think they made a good movie out of it.
Yeah, well,
I think there's a serious problem with distribution.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Well, that would be my next question:
who decided to open up this movie against a monster starring George Clooney and Sandra?
Yeah, I don't know exactly when.
Well, yeah, but Hall and Gravity didn't come out until later, right? October, at least.
October, yeah.
So it didn't even open against it.
Well, it opened against it, but something failed in the marketing terribly.
Or just it didn't get, because I don't know who was the distributor.
Yeah, it did not get enough.
I didn't even notice.
It opened 2 months later, October 4th.
Yeah. Mm. But who is the distributor on this?
Also known as Gravedad.
Gravedad? Like Ghost Dad?
That was, I think it's Gravedad. That's Gravity.
Oh.
Gravity was also known as Gravedad in Argentina. Which must be Argentinian for...
Stop it. Stop it. Racism knows no bounds. Yeah, so I like this movie, although that first bit was too much. Too slow.
What do you mean?
That was too slow. I don't know, I can't...
Which bit? Are you talking about the foreshadowing bit at the very beginning?
Like the press conference?
The press conference was good. The setup was good. There was like this bit in the middle where I get what they were going for. They were like, it was just a bunch of boring shots around the ship as the ship was traveling for 18 months or wherever it was. Yeah, I get that you're trying to convey the boringness of his life in space, but holy crap.
They also told you that one of the members of the crew was gone.
Yeah.
Had died. Should we tell his family? How are we going to let him know? Well, we can't even tell him. And then they go back and start explaining what happened there. Yeah.
So this movie passes my what are we doing and why are we doing this? No. Why are we doing this and how do you know that tests?
Mm-hmm.
Everything in this movie was reasonable.
And they
that shouldn't be an accomplishment, but it is.
They did a good job of explaining it without going into a full exposition dump.
Yeah, the press conference was good for that.
Mm-hmm. Because it was a reasonable press conference.
It was a reasonable press conference.
That's the kind of information you get at a dumbass press conference.
Poorly lit, though. That was the part that bothered me. This is the worst lit press conference I have ever seen.
I liked how excited the chick that they were interviewing at the beginning and the end was at the press conference.
Yeah.
And how not excited she was at the beginning and the end in the private interview. I like having both of those things next to each other. Oh, she's really happy here. Now she's sad. I dug the characters too, Tony.
I like the characters.
Wickus was really annoying, though. I was kind of really happy when he died. But even his death also passed the we're making reasonable decisions based on the situation test. Oh, that guy's going to die if I don't do something about it. Now I'm going to die. But I was probably going to die anyway because they couldn't clean off my suit. Okay.
Yeah. No, I thought it was great. I thought it gave a good story to why this character that we knew died, and it did it in a way that you still kind of felt something.
I kind of feel like they could have saved him, though. Like, with enough tricanery in the airlock, that it could have been done.
Well, they said they could have. They just didn't have time to cycle the airlock back and forth to get him fixed up.
And I'm not complaining about it. I feel like it was a puzzle that we could have solved. When I find a puzzle, I have to solve it.
Duct tape would have worked.
No, I'm with you. But I think...
Borg around the spacesuit, like Worf in First Contact.
What?
I almost would have liked to seen... Because they couldn't give the reveal until the very end, I would have
they would have had to give it up before then. But they had an opportunity there that they could have focused on that death and what happened there and like analyzed it more. Like had people, since this is a report, have people analyzing the report and analyzing what happened there and work through the puzzle. What could they have saved him? Here's how they could have done it.
Yeah. Or
no, here's how they couldn't have done it.
Yeah, pull NASA in. And like an Apollo 13 thing.
This is what they have in the whatever. It's that would actually be pretty cool. Filter. And I mean, and that's the kind of thing that it would be kind of neat to see, even on like a special features DVD. If they have like a DVD of that and gave me that as a special feature, I'd probably buy it. Oh, if they did little bits, people analyzing the report as a commentary track, that would be clever.
Neil deGrasse Tyson on
that. Yeah, Neil deGrasse Tyson.
That would be pretty awesome.
That's how you make that. I bet you could easily double your gross if you have him easily. Just do a commentary track.
You get Neil deGrasse Tyson and astronaut Mike Massimino in a room. You have them talk about space.
And talk about the mission.
And then, like,
how practical. Light petting.
Just
light petting. Just a little slurping sounds, like just so you can clearly hear somebody sucking on a mustache. Sorry, I thought this was House of Boys. I would listen to it, too.
I would listen to that all day. All
right, now smell them a little. Smell them a little. I'm really glad that we're not an advanced alien race, because I would do some horrible things, just in general. Get some cages out. All right, humans, it's time to breed. You two look like you'd be a funny pair.
Funny pair?
You're very tall, you're very short. See how this works.
So the only thing I can find on it is a report from an article in the LA Times.
Europa report?
Yes, that said the budget Europa is less than $10 million.
What?
Well, that would make sense since, the way they did the cinematography and everything, it was not a big budget film. I mean, they
there was clearly a lot of wires, too, so it's not like they were doing the...
Well, wire work now is so... It's not such a big special thing. I mean, it's
I know, common enough. Yeah. I'm saying they didn't do the zero G. Like
the gravity cop-out was really smart on their part. And that was the first thing I noticed was like, nothing is floating. Nothing is floating. Oh, okay. At least they explained it and I can live with that. Yeah. So.
That's how the gravity works on Europa, though. There is no artificial gravity on Europa.
Yes, but by that time we're so caught up in the story, we're not noticing.
I wasn't.
Right. This movie doesn't hold up too terribly to too much scrutiny.
Oh,
but, I mean, this is a movie. Where it's not trying to be terribly accurate.
I'm like the giant eye and that billboard and Great Gatsby.
The budget for the $10 million budget sounds like a made-for-TV movie, which may have what this started out being and ended up trying to see if it got any traction in the theaters.
Right. Well,
it works better on a small screen than it does on a big one.
Yeah, because you can build...
I think so. Because we're supposed to be looking at this thing through video cameras, not through high-definition 35mm film cameras.
Right, and you only have to build, like, two indoor sets. Mm-hmm.
Your sets, and the special effects were limited, but they did a pretty good job of what they had.
Sure. They did I noticed the gravity-esque face shots. They did that, which, I couldn't stop.
Were tons of points where it's like, we're not going to show that because that would cost money.
And that's okay.
That's a good budget effect.
You know what else I liked about this? It did not satisfy a ton of other tropes. Nobody went space crazy.
Yeah, I was waiting for that.
I was waiting for that
and
too.
And then they pulled back, and I thought that was really smart.
Yeah,
I appreciate that.
Going space crazy though is a really terrible cliche. Yeah. I mean,
it is.
I know, that's why I was happy they did not do that.
I mean, people who do this type of work, like people who do Antarctic research where they're cut off for months and months at a time, they don't go, quote-unquote, Arctic crazy. Sailors who are on submarines don't go buggy because they're all screened against that in the beginning.
Hold on, there's submarine crazy. You can go submarine crazy.
It's pretty rare, though.
Well, I think being on a submarine is also pretty rare comparatively. Yeah.
Still, if you're going to invest this much money in a mission that's going to go this long, you're definitely going to screen.
You mean like sending Sandra Bullock up into space with no reason for her to be there so she can pull out a panel and replace it with something else? Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so this movie does kind of beg to be compared to Gravity.
Yeah. I don't feel
like there's not a real comparison there. One is
I feel like one has a story.
Yeah.
One is a better movie.
Don't get me wrong, I liked Gravity.
I like Gravity, but I enjoyed the experience of watching this.
Well, Gravity was a survival experience.
Well, yeah, it's an action adventure, and this one is more of a thriller.
I'm more compelled
to watch this movie again than I would be to watch Gravity again.
I can't see Gravity on the big screen again, so I probably would not watch it again.
That's a good point.
That's what I'm saying. Gravity is a survival experience. Like, well, the point is that you were
in Gravity begs to be seen huge.
It's also real time.
Yes.
Which is a different experience than this stretching over 2 years.
There's one movie that this does remind me of very closely. It's made in the 1950s. It's called The Red Planet. It seems to have almost a similar plot line in it. Mm-hmm. You have the crew going to Mars instead of Europa. The experience kind of similar to the same things, and the big reveal is at the end. But they need to survive near disaster after near disaster.
I was from my
Peter big Graves.
Yeah. Way ancient.
Wincent. You know what else I liked about this movie? They showed the goddamn monster.
Yeah.
The very end.
You know what I don't get from a lot of movies now? Them showing the goddamn monster.
Yes. MacGuffin at the very, very end.
There was no open-endedness to this.
Like, wait, where are they not showing the monster?
All
the
Have you movie, watched the
anything that J.J. Abrams has done?
Ever. And even when he does show it, they don't give you
Inception.
Enough of it.
I don't like the ambiguous ending.
I hate that shit. I like how they showed, not only did they show the monster, but then they showed it and paused. Like,
yeah.
Here is what it looks like. Examine it.
Yeah, and
I'm not just going to show it to you in shadows and you know bad lighting.
To me, the impact of the movie is not that there was a monster, not that they showed the monster. I don't give a shit about the monster.
It was exciting because they found life. They succeeded in their mission.
Yeah.
Even though they died, they succeeded in their mission.
Well, but they had already, but at that point they had already succeeded because they had already found
they found the single-celled organism.
Yeah, but they couldn't escape. Europa wasn't ready to give them up.
Yeah, and I dug that guy's final sacrifice is like, yep, we're going to die. Let's send back our findings. This is a reasonable course of action, and I approve of what you're doing.
And they even foreshadowed that. Clearly, they even foreshadowed that with the other guy. The mission is more important than one life. And that happens midway through the movie, which completely foreshadows the end, which is the mission is more important than all of our lives.
Yeah. I also like that guy. I knew what was up. He saw.
I like this movie.
I also enjoyed this movie.
I'll tell you what, if you got nothing better to do for 90 minutes, you could spend it worse than watching this movie.
Oh, that's a weak review.
I would say watch this movie.
Watch the
movie. Definitely watch the movie.
Yeah. Grow a big mustache, then watch the movie.
A big mustache, huh?
It's essential.
Why is the mustache essential?
You've never had a mustache, I assume, so you just don't understand.
That is true. I've never had a mustache.
Work on that.
If you don't have mustaches, how can you offer mustache rides?
We can offer.
That's true, but I do have tits, so.
You can't offer tit rides.
I beg to differ.
That'd be a weird physical phenomenon, and I don't know how that would work.
Whoa.
Again, back to the breeding pits.
Breeding pits.
Have just 100 of each gender. We could probably make it work with sufficient experiment. It's for science. Maybe I'm watching too much Masters of Sex.
You need 50 couples for genetic diversity and 500 for long-term survival. So, there you go.
I'll build a model. I don't know, I got nothing.
It'll be 499.
See, if you were like the alien creators, there was a sci-fi novel I read, and I can't remember. I think it was just a short story collection. One of the stories had, like, humanity was forced into only breeding against type to remove diversity in the look of people.
Homogenization.
Oh, so like...
So basically, instead of having white, brown, black, yellow...
Yeah, like a Pan-Asian type deal.
You couldn't marry and reproduce within your own race.
Racial type.
Tony, I don't see color.
Well,
I barely see gender.
That could be a bit of a problem.
Also barely see color. Like not race color, like color.
Color coded.
I dug it. I dug the science. I dug their reason for doing everything was solid.
Yeah, even the entire premise of the movie. Hey, we may have found life on another body, celestial body in our solar system. We're going to go find it. Okay.
Oh, and guess what? No government can afford this mission. It's privately funded.
Okay.
This is the way we're heading anyway, so that's...
Yep.
I'm okay with
any government can afford it. It's just no government wants to spend money on it.
No, they said no government can afford it.
Yeah, because I'm doing the math in my head, and I'm... That was the one part where I'm like, I don't know that... I think you're going to have a hard time getting big funding for private space exploration.
Oh, I don't.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
As soon as somebody realizes they can get something out of it.
Maybe yeah, but this but you know this particular mission, nobody was going to get anything out of it. I mean, there was
That's a long-term investment. Plus, just the advertising revenue that you're diverting. This is pure advertisement.
Even not even advertisement. Think of it from terms of.
You could programming it. I mean, you could use this. You could set up a channel and just live broadcast from feeds from this. And
I realize that. Oh, so I understand that if you got together private funds to go out and find asteroids and bring back precious metals to Earth,
which we're planning on doing,
right? Which is already in the works, and somebody's eventually going to go do that.
That next week, by the way.
Excellent. So. I see the money value in that. I see no money value in going to Europa. I see science value, but I don't see.
Whoa.
I don't see where the back end comes from.
Okay. So let's take a company like Monsanto.
Sure.
All right. So Monsanto has been stuck, you know, using all of the Earth mode of life. So like Earthbound creatures are constructed in a certain way. So carbon-based life forms that we have in contact construct a certain way.
Right.
You go to Europa and you find a creature that is not necessarily carbon-based. It's some other weird whatever. It's not necessarily that they're going to find something like earth-shattering, but if they find enough, if they see an example of how something else is done, it's like a new avenue that they could research.
Yeah,
the basic
novel molecules
on another planet could be enough for them to think in a different direction on this one.
Right, but if you're going to be hauling back a couple tons of platinum, that's a known value. You don't know the value of going to Europa, so you're spending
a
lot of money.
It's a huge risky investment.
That is a lot of risk.
One, there's a write-off for research.
That is a huge write-off.
And there are many people in this world who have way more money than they know what to do with.
Two, the prestige. You get a guy like Jeff Bezos who's got tons of cash to burn and is already planning and manning
drones.
Drone pizza
to deliver mail and packages. That guy's already talking about building an artificial island that he can move to and have his own government with.
He's or Elon Musk, who has his own space program.
He is kind of like Luther. He's even got a crazy eye.
Yeah, but a mission like this would cost way more than he has.
I don't think so.
Not necessarily. Government programs tend to be
deep
very...
Deep space exploration, though?
It's already been...
What is your cost? What is your cost?
Well, first off, you have to get to space...
If you own
which is in and of itself pretty damn expensive.
Not necessarily.
But most all the research is already done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how SpaceX is going on. I mean, they're building on research that was done by NASA decades ago.
Right.
And they're doing it on a better budget than NASA is right now.
Right, but you also have to keep humans alive for multiple years.
Which we've gotten better at.
Right. But
again, all that research has been done already.
But I'm looking at the money, and I'm thinking that is a lot of money to spend.
But
with no known return at the end. How do you get people to invest in that?
It's easy, because you get entertainment companies to do it. You can get entertainment companies to tap into that. You have a channel.
Red Bull just did it, too.
That does nothing but broadcast live feeds from this thing 24/7. You know what? People pay for that shit every summer for Big Brother, and that they sit there and watch it and report on it. And you can watch all the feeds on Twitter and there's forums. You can do a weekly summary show of things that happened on the ship.
Just to give you a point of comparison.
It's easy, and it could happen.
I just sort of feel like the only way that you're going to fund something like this is you have to fund it with bodies that expect no return. So it has the money has to come from governments.
Not necessarily. No,
well,
just giving,
see, I think that's just it. Governments do expect a return. Especially now. It was easier in the past, and going forward, there has to be an expectation.
I also kind of feel like now is a time for like Bezos and the other people who have too much money to invest in projects like this, so they give the appearance of, hey, we are actually creating jobs and not just hoarding our wealth, even though they're just hoarding their wealth.
Like, well, at least they're distributing.
I see a significant personal incentive for them to spend money on something and expect zero return.
And really, they could have easily said that they were just subcontracting NASA to do it. Why not? The infrastructure's already there. The training's already there. The research, everything's there. I'm going to throw you a bit. How big a bucket of money do you need to make this happen?
To give you an example is, we spend more on pizzas than we do on our space program. I mean, NASA's budget is ridiculously low compared to other government agencies and just what people spend on regular consumer products every day.
Yeah.
Hold on. If I understand what you're saying, though. If there was a significant financial return or a concrete goal to go to the moon, to go to Mars, let's just say Mars because we haven't been there yet.
Sure.
To go to send a manned mission to Mars, I think we would have already done it. Absolutely. If we send the Mars rover out there or whatever, and it's like, yeah, this whole planet under the dust is all platinum. This place is a platinum mine. All you got to do is get some asshole out here to collect it.
Sure. They get a shovel.
Sure we would have already been there.
If there was a strategic, either defense, defense motivation or...
Or, you know what, let's ratchet up the incentivization. Okay, so this planet is all palladium. Let's just make up something.
Sure.
Right? Titanium.
Yeah, this is some other element that is going to be super critical to the...
development of human civilization for the next
few centuries. This will let us warp through space and whatever.
It solves all our energy problems.
Yeah.
You run a current through this thing that it produces power for the rest of ever.
It cures erectile dysfunction.
Yeah, if it cured erectile dysfunction, we'd have already been there.
A decade ago, yes.
Yeah, and the planet of the cure for females not having sex drive or orgasms, not been there. Never go there. Yeah. Don't need to go there.
Yeah.
But if it's an erectifying agent, already there.
Yes, Martian soil is the ultimate aphrodisiac.
Yeah.
Rockets are already phallic.
Even if we didn't build a ship to go there, we would build like this giant space vacuum. We'd get it here. I have no doubt in my mind.
An elevator to the moon.
You have no doubt in my mind.
Right.
Blow to suck.
Giant space made.
Indeed. So I realize that that's the current climate. So the current climate is, yes, of course, we as a country are not going to fund science and space projects because we're kind of retarded in that.
ROI.
Yeah, we expect some sort of giant benefit on the back end.
This is my problem with the free market, Tony. That's my problem with Wall Street. We don't think past the current quarter.
But the problem is, yes, if you look at what NASA has in the past, if spending on NASA has gained us as a nation, there is a huge return. But, if you have the blinders on and you can't see past defense, I just sort of feel like,
I see. Here's the thing. You say that NASA's provided us a huge return in the past.
Yes.
I think the value of that return is debatable, and that's the problem.
I don't know that it's debatable, though.
I think it's debatable.
Well, a lot of the returns disappeared into rather mundane things that we just don't see every day. I mean,
that's kind of my point.
The returns are there. They're just hard to see because they're not startlingly huge right off the bat. One of the returns that they came up with was a better management techniques for large projects.
Yeah, but most projects run like shit anyway, so it doesn't matter.
That's because they don't follow the stuff that's been laid down.
Well, I'm not going to follow NASA's methodology to run my projects because I can make more money if I don't.
Well, yeah, I can make more money on the back end by keep doing it over and over and over. That's Oracle's idea.
Yeah, that's how I built my career.
and hopefully I'll get promoted before somebody finds out the project's going to fail miserably.
No, I've already been promoted.
That's the federal government.
We're already out of danger.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at the NASA presidential budget request summary. IIS, it looks like they budget that at about $3 billion a year.
Yeah.
Assuming for a few minutes that, let's just say it takes 5 years between initial research, construction, up to launch. And then you need 3 more years on top of that to get it there and get it back, which arguably your budget costs go way down in those 3 years because you're still going to need to have a maintenance team and you're going to need mission control, but
that's
and research. It's personnel and your costs.
It's not hardware. Your hardware costs are already sunk.
You're out there. Yeah. It's not like you can add to that ship at all. You know, software. Yeah.
It's like buying a super tanker. Once it's launched, it's out on the ocean and it's doing its job. I mean, the office staff and the crew to run it are nominal.
Right.
All right. So I looked up what has NASA given us in terms of technology.
So arguably, just based on IIS, $20 to $30 billion doesn't seem like an unreasonable estimate.
Trillions.
Trillions. I mean, you're still within the range of several billionaires. I mean, Bill Gates' net worth is $80 billion. $30 billion to him is not big money, but it's not crushing.
Yeah, it's big money in terms of percentage.
He earns that back every year.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to totally ruin his portfolio, though. I'm just saying.
No,
you give away 50% of your wealth.
Yeah, but
I've only got another $40 billion.
This is Mission Gates, I mean, you can call that the Gates.
Yeah,
tipus.
When he puts a giant Windows logo on the moon. So NASA's given us memory foam.
Yes.
Freeze dried food, firefighting equipment, emergency space blankets, dust busters, cochlear implants, and Speedos laser racer swimsuits.
Don't forget micro-miniaturization. That was, whole technology was pushed because of that.
No, here's my point.
Otherwise, you should be launching vacuum tubes.
Contrary to popular belief, they did not give us Velcro or Tang.
Those existed long before.
I'm going to hold on to those illusions.
And I hope you... I'm waiting for somebody to bust
Velcro
out that stupid pencil and pen
earlier.
Story so I can shit
you
all
mean
over
the
them.
Space pen?
Yeah, so I can shit all over them.
Space pen?
About how that's not actually a thing.
You also left out communication satellites.
I didn't leave it out.
Infrared ear thermometers, ventricular assist devices, artificial limbs.
This is my point. These are devices that are really cool and necessary to survival, but they do not have the flash for people to be like, man, NASA's really made my life perfect. Now I can take my temperature by shooting a laser into my ear instead of holding a thermometer under my tongue, because most people don't give a shit about that.
So, but really what you're arguing, though, is that
it's
a PR problem.
It is a PR problem, and the perceived value of those inventions is very low.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but
because
the actual
everyday
value
consumer items.
Is considerably more, I would argue.
No, I agree with you, but that's a perception thing. Value is not determined by... Mm-hmm. Value is only determined by what somebody is willing
they
to pay for the item.
They don't choose loud enough.
Yeah, so what you're arguing, though, is that... So is the meaning of that then that we have to sort of pump up the PR so that people understand, or is that even necessary?
NASA's biggest problem is that it's a governmental bureaucratic organization.
It's not
run like a corporation.
Well, that's also a problem. But my point is that it's not inherently
a problem, though, because it depends on what the goal is.
Well,
if the goal is to waste money and not produce results, then yeah.
Well, but clearly they are producing results because we're still putting astronauts
still
in
space.
We're still on Mars. We're still exploring
still
Mars.
Still got space telescopes.
Considering the length of time an organization like NASA has been in existence,
it's still relatively young.
Their end goal is not to make money.
Is that they don't provide enough value that people think it's a priority to fund it, which is why their budget keeps getting slashed.
The problem is they're not telling they're trying to put these marginal accomplishments of things that we can use planet side as their reason for existence and their worth when it's not. When those things when if you look at any major corporation, they have so many more advancements
in a decade than NASA's had in their
existence. But I think the argument could be made. The argument can be made that the reasoning for increasing NASA's budget is there. It's just being.
So,
there's plenty of really great things that they could do with their money. So we're talking about like asteroid detection, we're talking about deep space mining. And Mars exploration.
But here's the problem.
Space elevators.
But here's the problem with NASA.
Exactly.
They're scientists, they're not politicians. So yes. They don't pitch what they're doing the right way. What they need to do is take a Fox News page. Asteroids are coming to kill the planet, and if we don't have an asteroid defense system in place by this time next year, we'll all be dead.
Yes, the first project will be space elevator.
Asteroids
and then the laser
are space terrorists.
Yes,
that's what they. It's a PR problem. That's my point.
Right. Right.
And they come in without knocking.
I think NASA is incredibly important and should be funded, but it's not going to be because it's not.
They don't toot their own horns loud.
Listen. We have terrorists and brown people to kill, so we need to fund that.
So,
also, the government does not understand science.
At the approach of 2001,
they don't understand what the
Arthur
point
Clark.
Is.
Arthur Clark was interviewed, and he was basically interviewed. Why don't the things that you predicted to be in existence in 2001, when you wrote the story in 1968, 69, something like that, why don't they exist today? When you have worked in these fields, because he developed satellite technology, that's one of the things he actually for realsies did, and
space dragons, Tony.
Well, his response was, I couldn't predict the Challenger disaster. There was no predicting things like that, and the course we were on up to that point, there's nothing to say that we wouldn't have had some of the things that were predicted. But when that happened, budgets were slashed.
Sure.
Just no, you don't get any more money. You fucked up.
Yeah, that's a problem. And also, thank God we haven't found any other life on planets yet.
Because they would just laugh at us?
No, that would be the biggest setback, guarantee it. Because you have an entire religion, philosophical debate that's going to happen at that very moment. Oh, shit, we're not alone in the universe. All of our religion kind of implies that we are, so... We either need to rethink that, or we have to reject everything we just learned. And I kind of feel like we're going to reject everything we just learned, because that is new and scary, and not old and comforting.
Yeah.
Sure.
So I'm really happy we haven't actually found something yet.
Good sci-fi actually addresses that.
Yes,
regularly.
many times.
Good sci-fi is about that, hey, this new thing challenges all of our philosophies. Yeah.
Well, yes, you turn all of humanity upside down for...
There's a great...
That's what made the end of Europa Report really good.
Yeah.
The biggest impact of the movie, I don't give a shit that those people died, but holy shit, they didn't find monocellular organisms on that planet. That was an actual organism that showed intelligence. That's problematic in a number of ways.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was good.
I want the sequel to the movie.
Where some idiot
But it's
goes
Mars
out
Attacks.
There.
The sequel's Mars Attacks.
Europa Attacks. Using the technology they found, the crash ship.
The sequel is Sam Neill is on a ship,
and there's a kid
with that chick from Nip Tuck, and they go.
It's the probe that they lost in the water,
right?
And the probe is Wally.
Oh,
the squids
awesome.
Figured out how
it
to fly
itself.
The ship and
it
have come
itself.
To Earth.
It writes itself.
Then Wally starts playing Punch Out.
Well, there's where NASA's justification. We now got to have squid defense. Alien squids. They have our technology. They're going to re-engineer it, fly back to Earth, and steal all our clams.
Fear is the best motivator you can get in this government. Squid. You know what? All I heard the next day about the drones was, what if they fall out of the sky? Well, what if they drop my package?
They drop your
Come
package.
Come on.
You pick it up.
Well, it's going to cause accidents. What if they drop the package on the highways? Because they'll have to go along the highways. Why would they go along the highways?
What,
that doesn't make
why
any
do they
sense.
Need to?
Yes. Yeah, that's not how you would that's not how I would fly.
Point to point.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I looked at all that stuff and just kind of laughed. And then my the people responded, well, did you see the video?
I don't need to see the video.
Hey, you know what? I watch movies all the time. stuff in those movies don't really happen.
I mean, here's the thing. I don't need to see the video. I know what a drone looks like.
I saw a light up squid underwater under the surface of Europa. Pretty sure they didn't go there.
I thought about buying one of those, like, four helicopter drones.
To make your own drone?
Yeah.
I would love to have my own drone.
I saw one. I saw a deal of the day thing that had one of those for $69 that had a camera on it. I'm like, oh, nice. this is dangerous. I would just abuse this in a horrible way. And I got to stay away from this. And then it was like, flight time, 10 minutes. What am I going to do in 10 minutes? Oh, I could use it to check the wasps around my house. I think there's a nest of wasps in my attic.
Check for the...
But I can't...
Check the swimming pools next
door. I can't go up there because if there is a wasp nest up there, like, it's going to be me pushing the thing up and then the wasp just stabbing me in the face.
It would be like that little girl in the sign.
It would be like the little girl in the sign, yeah.
You'd probably scream just like that little girl.
And the thing is, where the attic access is in my house, it's right above... It's right in that hallway outside the room we use podcast in.
Oh.
So I would be on a ladder... Over the drop for two stories.
You just fall straight down.
Yeah, I would fall straight down two stories, and it would be
like Psycho, that crazy falling scene in Psycho.
Yeah, it would be the worst. I have nightmares about this.
We need to record that when you do that, because I'm sure we can use that in the podcast.
I'm not doing it. I've just given it to the wasps.
You know,
need to introduce spiders to it.
I have plenty of spiders.
Let the wasp kill
you need
the spiders.
You arm your drone.
I'm fairly certain my cats are eating the spiders now, so I don't see as many. So
send the cats up there. Won't they eat the wasps?
I think it's a lot of wasps. There's a ton of wasps in the area, and I don't know where they come from.
They're in your house.
They probably are.
They sense your
fear. You're the vampire next door.
They sense your fear.
They know. Well, they know.
They know. Hey, he's
well, they've
much,
already eminent domained my attic.
The
They moved in, and I didn't challenge them, so it's theirs
right,
now.
Throughout that entire
exchange, I kept imagining wasps as white Anglo-Saxon Protestants. Mm-hmm. Like,
that's also my neighborhood.
Was
yeah,
hilarious.
Or the band Wasp. That's even better.
They're living in your attic.
I played the horrible music all night long.
Because they might see you.
We went to the,
seeing him in the face.
Condo association meeting a couple weeks ago. This is the first one Melina's been to. She's like, these people complain a lot about stuff that we don't give a shit about. Yeah, welcome to 70-year-old people in a condo association who don't have anything better to do with their time.
Except complain
about shit that does not matter. They were really upset about the brush being on the ground. Yep.
The brush.
When you retire, that's what you got to look forward to. I fell out of my chair. It was fun. But the chair had these backs that, like you'd sit in it, it would just... Like,
keep going?
Yeah, unbalance the chair, and just saw I had it leaned up against the wall. I was stuck under the lip of the window, and like, I thought I was breaking it. Fell out of my chair. Right when they were talking about the Hispanics working the lawns. Guys,
good dramatic point there.
This is a hot button issue for me, guys.
Yes,
I'm suddenly involved in the conversation.
Really worked up about the turnover on these crews and the guys who don't speak English. Really worked up about this. These are my people.
It would have been even better if you could have done a spit take in there somewhere.
I don't bring food or water to those things. We're the kind of people who, once those things are over, we get out of there because we don't talk to anybody. Because the vampire next door is in a fight with the prostitute. It's just this whole thing. So I was eating. So
the
I
made vampire my, next door?
Yeah. We got like this 200-year-old woman who lives next door, and she hates the prostitute. So I was getting some Rice Krispie treats that I made myself the other day, and the doorbell rang. So I had the plate, and I walked to the door. And as I was opening the door, I'm like, I'm literally opening the door with candy now. And this is my appeal. I'm trying to lure this chick into the house with sweets. But it was one of our old man neighbors.
No, Daddy liked him.
I see. I have a feeling that teenage neighbor of yours, you and that drone, are going to get into big trouble.
That's why I did not order it.
Looking in her window.
You wouldn't even do it. You'd get up there to check on your wasp, and a gust of wind would blow it and like bounce it off her window.
Yeah.
You wouldn't see anything, but Jesus.
Yeah, it would be the worst thing ever.
And there would be people walking their dogs and
not
seeing
her. That chick in the green bikini, though. That's where the key is.
The key.
Our condo overlooks the pool.
That's the money shot.
I think that shakes the legal age.
Check first. then get the drone. Well, ask for ID.
She didn't have ID.
Fly up. I saw her in that bikini. Yeah, I know. Clearly you can use the drone
to get images of her. Yeah, put them into Facebook. Have it do a Google image search. Do an image search. Find out who she is. Check her Facebook status.
Yeah, I think maybe the first move in here, I'm already a stalker. So when I was on the board, I could at least claim... I just gotta keep, you know, I gotta keep up and goings on around here. It's part of the board. It's part of, you know, the trustees.
Mm. You start a new magazine. Aerial stalking.
I kind of feel like the NSA's already got that market covered.
Now they're into aerial killing.
Not the NSA.
Oh, yes.
It's more of a CIA type deal, isn't it?
Yeah, CIA, NCIA, they're all the same. All a bunch of books.
Seems pretty racist.
Yes, it is.
All right, what else we got on this?
That's it. I think we've
I don't know about you guys, but I'm goddamn tired.
I got nothing else. I enjoyed
it. Let's wrap it up tonight.
Yeah. It's good
times. We look for our 300th episode.
Yeah, next week. That'll happen.
Okay.
Bet it won't.
The Hunger Games. Now I got to watch both movies.
Hey,
I should have gone to the double feature, and I could have got caught up all
I'm
at one
trying
time.
To think if you could pick it up and if how you would do if you just watched the second one.
I feel like
well, each
there
movie,
would be certain things that you would catch that aside. You wouldn't necessarily know because there are like little clue things that you wouldn't that you would
could always cheat and just read the Wikipedia or the IMDb
that is true.
Summary.
That's
but
true.
I'd leave out so much.
But the original Hunger Games
it's really
is on,
easy to get.
On streaming now. So
it's streaming. You can get it on Redbox okay. because. Because they threw it back on Redbox ahead of the movie.
Yeah.
I like that they're doing that.
Okay, I have a Redbox account, so I can pick it up.
Putting the...
Don't you have a Netflix account?
I have Netflix and Redbox.
Yeah, it's free. Netflix.
Yeah, it's on Netflix,
it is on Netflix?
Man.
Okay,
yeah,
great.
Yeah, you can just stream it.
Oh, great. That'll be a savings. I can catch up on the plot of Line, since there is one.
No, they're...
It is available
Listen,
on Netflix.
The movies are like 20 times better than the books.
Okay.
It's available on Netflix, Amazon, Redbox, Redbox Instant.
If only you had
Epix.
If only you had some sort of app that you could find out where all that sort of streaming. That'd be great.
I think it's what's streaming.
Or the web page.
What web page?
Can I stream it?
No,
can I stream
don't,
.it?
Don't. Will you stop it? That's not a thing.
It's too logical.
Tony, you know what I did this weekend? I played like 80 hours of FTL.
Wow.
I played a ton of FTL.
Have you played Rune Capsule yet?
No.
It's available. It's coming to PC in January.
Tony, I got sucked into this FTL. I got an FTL tear. I unlocked like 8 ships. I was all over the place.
That's dedication.
I know. It's awesome.
I think you like Rune Capsule.
I probably will. I'll get to it.
It only takes an hour to play.
An hour? I don't have the kind of time to commit.
Saves.
Tony, I'll save. Saves. I'm Iron Man over here.
How are they? 75 minutes tops.
Hey, are we practicing Sunday?
I don't know. I haven't practiced since we practiced last.
I have, but nothing that we're working on. I'm doing my minor skills now, Tony. Huh?
That sounds unsavory.
Fourths, fifths.
That doesn't make it sound any better.
I have, like... 3 or 4 charts of how the scales relate to each other, and then some wheels.
A circle of fifths?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds like you're actually learning stuff now,
yeah.
And not just
that's
regurgitation.
That's like real music shit right there, circle of fifths.
Yeah, so when you transpose.
Start... Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, what if your singer doesn't want to sing in this key? They want to sing in another key. You're going to have to know how to transpose it. Yeah, I don't know if that's going to be a problem.
Yeah, you can.
Eric pretty much just screeches.
Yeah.
takes the heavy metal approach to lyrics. Just screech it.
I was playing some of those videos for some of the guys I work with, and I was like, you can't really hear any of the other instruments except for the drums, so... Sounds like he's keeping a consistent beat most of the time.
Yeah, that's true.
And I'm like, we have a ton of recording equipment in the room, but he set up his iPad off in the corner, like facing away from the amps, but at the drums.
Yeah, it would make so much more sense to just put it right next to the amps. Lean it against the amps because you know what? The drums are still, you're still going to hear the drums.
So why don't you just record the sound, though?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Well, yeah, why don't we?
Like,
because I never pull out my laptop because I'm lazy.
And I always forget to bring in my H1.
Well, you should just record each individual instrument and mix them back together.
That would be like work.
Yeah, oh,
we're not that good. None of us want to play individually.
We're all at a comparable level, so when we play together, you can tell what we're playing. Okay. That's what we've accomplished to this point.
Yeah, Kim's like, that actually sounds like a song.
Okay.
Yes!
That's better!
That's the best it's been so far.
Alright, I'm ending this one.
Oh, shit, I ended my life.
Have you ever wondered what you might do if it was the end of days? If today, literally today, was the last day of everything, what would you do?
Johnny, is that you? Johnny! Go!
You're all going to be sorry. You're all going to be so sorry. Is this really how you want to spend your last day?
Yes, although Aaron, it was disturbing and fucked
that
up.
That was the most fucked up thing I've ever experienced in a game.
I enjoyed the hell out of tonight.
Everyone is frayed and just ready to lash out at each other.
I didn't think that could get more fucked up.
Oh, God. Ghosts of Rainsboro is an actual play recording using Savage Worlds in the original Rainsboro setting. Come listen at ideologyofmadness.com.